This is Book N, begins in 1963, April, and continues in that year. It's going back to immunoglobulins at the beginning, separation of heavy and light chains. And some ideas for sequencing. For example, on Monday, April 27, page 11, tests of various Bench-Jones proteins, and the four proteins that are being considered are EDDY, and Nevin, and one called SHBJ and BOBJ, and AGBJ. Bench-Jones proteins, of which they're looking at the gels, the formic 8 molar formic acid gels with urea, and 0.2 molar mercaptan. Beautiful separations, and all five Bench-Jones proteins have different mobilities in this gel: EDDY, Nevin, and the other two, three. A very pretty gel. Page 10. Bulk preparations of the Nevin Bench-Jones protein again, starting with 9 litres of urine. Looking at the molecular sizes of the Bench-Jones proteins on page 15 by the usual method of varying starch concentrations. With a comment on that page, with them, this is the multiple gel method of trying to determine molecular size. This SHBJ2 may be bigger than Nevin, but BOBJ2 and Nevin do not differ significantly, and BOBJ2 was repeated in May 14th through 16th. So we'll come back to it at another time. Nevin, a new method of preparation. Phillips Bench-Jones, a new sample. It looks very thin. Looking at May 1st, Wednesday, molecular weight determinations on AG, BJ2 and Nevin. Recalculated and repeated on May 8th and 9th. Trying to determine molecular size. I'll repeat again on page 25. EDDY versus SHBJ2. Digesting with carboxypeptidase with DFP treated carboxypeptidase from Worthington using low concentrations on page 27, different digesting conditions. More work on these immunoglobulins. Testing of inhibition by gamma globulins split with mercaptan ethanol plus or minus iodoacetamide and sulfite and with copper, etc. Thursday, May 16th. With a comment at the bottom, stick to mercaptan ethanol plus or minus iodoacetamide at present. BJ antibody preparation. Joel Solomon used 12 rabbits, eventually 9, and injected Nevin, purified it, bench Jones protein, and some results of the immunization. Very faint bands. Trying to photograph the results of these tests on pages 40 through 43. Trying to do immunoelectrophoresis with these serums, these anti-serums and these bench Jones proteins on page 47. General conclusion is that anti-Nevin has a non-specific antibody against the serum impurity in addition to anti-Nevin bench Jones. This cross reacts with Eddie serum, but not with Eddie Bench Jones, so rather complicated results. I never was very fond of these tests, I remember. Here is finally the image that I've been trying to find for some time of haptoglobin finals repeat Tuesday, May 28th, page 51, getting back to more secure territory. It's a beautiful gel and photographed on that page, and the image occurs in the paper, I think. Let's just see if we can find it. Yeah, no question. I see that dot. So page 50 in bookend is a very pleasing page. The beautiful large enlargement of the gel showing the differences between the alpha chains of HB1F, 1F, 1F, 1S, 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 2, 1F, 2, 1S, and 2, 2, which is reproduced as figure of plate 1 in the paper that we I wrote with George Connell and Gordon Dixon on gene action in the Human Haptoglobin Journal of Molecular Biology, 1966, plate 1. It's very enjoyable to see. It's just an absolutely glorious gel, and the reproduction in the journal is very good. They're very pretty. Going on with the book, antibody tests with the antisera on page 53 and so on. Getting another sample of another Ben Jones, Dylan, prepared on page 59. And Haptoglobin repeats on Saturday, June 1st, but really not needed after that beautiful one. On the earlier page, just confirming the result, which is why I had some difficulty recognizing the figure on page 60 versus the figure on page 50. They're very, very similar. Just 50 is just a slightly better a gel. Difference because that band is not there, that little trace band. Not present here, but it did. So I thought it was this, but yeah. So it's this Saturday, June 1st, page 60 and 61 is a repeat of the beautiful gel on page 50. Purifying Dylan, Ben Jones protein, the following pages. And checking that there is a difference between Nevin and Eddie, or Dylan and Eddie, on page 64 and 65. Various preparations of Eddie are compared, and all are alike, and two preparations of, or no, one preparation of a Dylan, which is different. Beginning to think about Edmund degradations, now to do a sequencing from the amino terminus. Monday, June the 10th, page 67, this being in 1963. So we had a rotary of Appomix, etc., for coupling, and details of how to do the Edmund or how we were going to do or did the Edmund degradations on Monday, June 10th. And various chromatography sheets set up. Page 71, June 11th, Tuesday, triptych. Fingerprints of N, C, and J. That's of the available from a pilot experiment, May 8th, 1963. I need to look back. Page 71 again, Tuesday, June 11th, is talking about fingerprints on purified N, C, and J, N-terminal, C-terminal, and junction peptide from a separation carried out May 8th, but there is no entry in the book of what was going on at on May 8th, so it's not rather poorly documented in the lab notebook, in my lab notebook, but I was trying to do fingerprints on the N-terminal, C-terminal and junction peptides again, with a different method of digestion. With the NC and J were chymotryptic, as I remember, and this was now digesting with trypsin to see if I could get another piece of information. I think it was about this time that I went to Toronto to learn to do peptides and peptide analysis on purified material, but we may come to that in the book, but my history of flying is related to that, because I went to Gordon Dixon's lab. I traveled from Wisconsin to Gordon Dixon's lab to learn to do the work, to do the same type of work that he'd been doing with peptide analysis and labeling N-terminal and so on. And when I got there, I found that I just didn't like doing the work at all. And I decided that I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life doing experiments that I didn't like. So I went down to Toronto Island Airport and took flying lessons. And those are some of the first flying lessons I ever had at Toronto Airport. Rather spectacular. I remember that the instructor, who must have been a young buck, because he in demonstrating for an early student, we did a spin, which is something that is usually reserved for later students, not beginners, because it's rather spectacular from inside the cockpit, as I also found out when I was teaching flying in the glider. One of my students was so frightened of spinning that he wouldn't even let me demonstrate it, or he tried to prevent me from demonstrating it, but I did demonstrate it, but he was very frightened. He'd been badly trained before me. But anyway, that's the story of going down to Toronto Island Airport. I think it's shortly in after this time. I'll look in my airplane log book to see whether the dates coincide with this period. I think they probably do. But here I was trying to do it in Wisconsin. So, for example, the ideas on page 83 are: consider taking half a gram of Bench Jones protein and carrying through several steps of Edmund degradation, and then dissolving in urea in repurifying. I carry small sample one step further, etc., to see if I could get longer sequences by the Edmund degradation. Rather interesting to see in attempts at getting protein sequencing to work with the Edmund method in my hands. So fingerprints on page 85. And on 87. Back to a rather happier topic in many ways, on page 89, Monday, July 22nd, haptoglobin 2-1 synthesis. Somebody, Marquette, had reported that isozymes can be dissociated and reassociated by freezing and thawing in one mole of sodium chloride solution. And so this suggests that high ionic strength at zero centigrade during the thawing would concentrate the protein. And sort of tested with, so I decided to test with the haptoglobins using 1%, 1-1 and 2-2, and the usual mixture of 1-1 and 2-2, all in 1 mole of sodium chloride, and then dilute one and testing. But the results are very clear that nothing happened. The freezing thawed with mercap to ethanol, and the freezing and thawing without mercap to ethanol in the presence of 1 molar sodium chloride had absolutely no effect. A little comment, no changes in 1-1 plus 2-2. Repeat with solid sodium chloride. There is a second gel which is just a poorer gel, but it doesn't give any different result. New fingerprints on July 23rd. Different column, cellulose ethylamine on page 93, fluorescein cellulose on page 95. Some checks on various samples on Wednesday, August 7th, regular formic acid, 8 mole urea gel with mercap to ethanol. And one a little more dilute. But it is straightforward type of pattern, no different from previous results. And so the comment is, confirms that 2 in quotation marks, 1S and 2FS, is 2FS and 2SS. But we're beginning to realize that MSS could be, that 2 could be, have more than one form. It didn't have to be FF, FS, 2 could be FS, FF, or SS. This was with Walter Nance, and later on he wrote a paper on this topic, which no doubt we shall come to test. This is in June 25th. Just to go over that again, this is related to the work that Walter Nance was doing at that time, where the haptoglobin 2, we realized, shouldn't always be FS, but might be FF or SF or SS, etc. And so the test there is whether the 2 is the same. I'll have to look up and see what date his work was published, but it wasn't at that time, and it was a little later. Back to haptoglobin resynthesis, Tuesday, October 15th, page 101. With talking about a paper by J.L. Peel, where he was catalyzing the oxidation of 0.05 molar mercap to ethanol at 37 degrees. to Wednesday, October 16th, has the title Haptoglobin Resynthesis for Removal of Spurious Zones, 0.03 molar captoethanol, pH 7, 37 degrees, plus or minus factor B, which is what had been claimed to be catalytic. It's a vitamin B12 derivative to be catalytic for oxidation, so that this was in the presence of factor B. And the following page, 105, so the samples look remarkably similar in the jowl, and are mercaptoethanol plus factor B, longer term, etc., etc. The results suggest that 1-1 is no good, and that the general results are clear that 0.03 molar mercaptoethanol, 37 degrees pH 7, will dissociate HP22 essentially completely in 60 minutes. Some resynthesis with factor B, but must investigate the cleavage more thoroughly. Test anaerobically. Not anything very convincing in the gel or in the statement of interpretation. So, page 107, test of haptoglobin 2-2, mercaptoethyl alone splitting, semi-anaerobic, and with a gradient gel of different concentrations of mercaptoethanol, simple effect of mercaptoethanol. And if we pause a moment, I think that in fact is a gel that was used in a later paper. The gel on page 106 is very similar to a gel that I published when I finally understood what was happening in the cleavage stages. If I look at figure 1 in my paper, Disulfide Bond Cleavage and Formation in Protein, which is published in Science December 1965, the gel is remarkably similar. I'm not sure it is exactly the correct one. We'll come back to this topic when I find that gel. I know this gel on page 106 is not the published gel, but it's a prelude to the published gel. It's very, very similar. Just showing the effect of increasing amounts of mercaptoethanol in the absence of anything, no urea and no alkylation. They just changing mercaptoethanol concentration, where the polymers dissociate, and you can see that they're dissociated into something that appears to be a monomer. But this is with added hemoglobin of the gel on page 106. There's a free hemoglobin in the top, and these are hemoglobin binding, and it appears that at the lower concentrations of the intermediate concentrations of mercaptoethanol, there is dissociation into the monomer, but as the concentration increases, the ability to bind with hemoglobin disappears. So this is, it says there that the results are odd. A pre-hemoglobin binding component appears before all the polymers are broken. no stable intermediates, as in yesterday's experiment. So a setup again, not completely understanding, but looking at it from a knowledge of what really is happening. The gel is perfectly rational, but the hemoglobin binding disappears at higher mercap to ethanol concentration. The dissociation from polymers to monomers is leaves a little bit of binding for a while. So continuing with buffered thiols on the following page, here dithiodiglycol, deionized in centrifuge, is available from earlier tests. So the experiment was set up with varying amounts of dithiodiglycol and a constant amount of mercap to ethanol. Then haptoglobin was added. So here is a concentration effect of dithiodiglycol, control 2-2 being completely as usual, but in the presence of 0.3 molar dithiodiglycol, there are no polymers, and even at 0.003 molar, there are no polymers, but there's a very good monomer. And so, in the presence of dithiodiglycol, mercap to ethanol produces a good monomer, the beginning of understanding at last. Although not yet written down. So this is page 109, Friday, October 18th, that the best ratio is about 0.03 molar dithiodiglycol with the mercap to ethanol being constant at the usual concentration, which is not recorded there, though could be calculated. So dithiodiglycol plus mercap to ethanol gives very good monomers, and the monomers bind hemoglobin and give a positive benzidine test from the look of it. It may not be a benzidine, it may just be a protein staining. I should not say benzidine. But that is a very important page for my understanding. Friday, October 18th, page 109. And it becomes the basis of my later paper on resynthesizing. Here is a rerun on page 3111, Monday, October 21st, the rerun of the factor B tests, which is dithiodiglycol plus 0.03 molar mercap to ethanol plus about 1 micromolar factor B, and then varying the amount of dithiodiglycol. Looking at these gels, the results show clear synthesis. That's what I'm claiming, because these samples are were previously monomers and now are back to polymers. The 0.03 molar one, for example, has almost got back to, well, it looks rather like a haptoglobin 2-1 modified, it's partial synthesis of polymers, but polymers are really clearly being remade now when the sample is allowed to oxidize. And so the remark is the results show clear resynthesis, but to one like, not two, and better in the presence of only a small amount of the dithiodide glycol. Test the Kalins reagent is my next comment, but that if that goes on is a retrograde step, as I would now know. The October 22nd, Tuesday, 1,1,3,1,4-dithio-2,3-dihydroxybutane test, that's DTE and dithioerythritol and DTT dithiothreatol, available in cis and transforms, etc. Make a test with the transform first. And so I tested with DTT. The results show splitting partial, even at the lowest concentration, and no visible sign of wreckage. So it's a nice result that you can get very good monomers by dithiodiglycol at concentrations of that are really quite low. Though the best experiment is with 0.0, the highest concentration tested is 0.01 molar dithiodiglycol, and even 0.005 molar dithiodiglycol, dithiothreatol rather, DTT, the concentration 0.005 molar gives very good bands, and so the comment is the result shows splitting are partial even at the lowest concentration, and no sign of no visible sign of a wreckage. However, note that the hemoglobin appears to be partially wrecked at the higher concentration, and you can't see the hemoglobin band at all. Rerun of the factor B samples treated for page 113, being rerun on page 117. With the comment, the resynthesis is no better. It could be worse than mercaptan ethanol, but it's quite clear with 0.01 molar, so I am getting some sort of resynthesis of the polymer. Still thinking about factor B and oxidation, Thursday, October 24th, effect of factor B on oxidation with mercaptoethanol and DTT, dithiothreatol. Resynthesis is being rerunning samples again. Friday, October 25th, page 123, rerun of 0.03 SH plus 0.03 SS tests at 37 pH 7, 24 hours and 96 hours resynthesis. with the comment that this is a sample in the presence of hemoglobin from the look of it. Yes, it says 8:20 a.m. samples out and to hemoglobin, and 8:50 a.m. Back to rotation, and then taken at different samples, 24 hours and 96 hours in oxidation, and that results say that all have clear hemoglobin colour at 9:15 a.m. and that's after 24 hours. And factor B is very clearly catalytic, as Peel describes. And the plus mercaptan who had no sample has improved greatly. A comment on the preceding page 132. Resynthesis in plus mercaptan to plus factor B is quite good, but seems to have stopped or at least slowed considerably. But DTT is hopeless, a 0.03 molar. Further refinements being tested on the following page, and so on, and the same sorts of experiments. Like the B concentration effect, no effect in going from 0.1 micromolar down to 1,000, up to 1,000 micromolar. Wider pH range and temperature tests on Tuesday, October 29. pH tests continued, pH at 37 degrees Wednesday, October 30th. Again, the resynthesis appears to be making something rather like haptoglobin 2-1 rather than haptoglobin 2-2. No particular comment on this rerun test on page 131. Samples again on October 31st, and looking at the effect of pH 6, 7, 8 and 9, and not very clear that there is any difference. The initial pattern looks very good for the lower pHs, therefore test even lower. pH 6 is a nice dissociation pattern. Starting material pH 6 is actually better than the pH 9 after 16 hours, which is what that comment is about. Initial pattern looks very good for lower pHs, therefore test even lower. And with the result on the following page, the results show pH 4.3 and 5 are essentially the same. pH 6 has not changed much, not different from pH 5. Therefore, try pH, no, try pH 6 at lower temperature. Looking at it from this point of view, there's not much difference between the samples. pH test after 20 days on page 137, pH 4, 3, 5, 6 and 7 and 8, with the comment that no significant change since 20 hours. So 20 days at those pHs. Though looking at it from here, I can see that the hemoglobin has been destroyed at the lower pHs, 5 and 4.3, but not commented on in the book. Continuing with pH tests, November 4th. Continuing with the various permutations of pH and temperature. Ionic strength test on November 7th, Thursday, page 147. Increasing the ionic strength does not help, is the conclusion. And a general review on Friday, November 8th. And the general results of pH and plus or minus factor B can be interpreted as indicating that slow oxidation in the presence of mercaptan ethanol is the best method. So went back and did a test again of air oxidized material made from a different in the presence of different concentrations of mercaptan ethanol, showing reoxidation of the 0.002 molar was the best versus a 0.02 molar where no resynthesis had occurred. And so we're getting to the end of this book with a final test being recorded on about November 11th on pages 152 and so on. And that comes to the end of this book. Yeah.